Beloved, all across the world today, there will be people meeting in churches. And there'll be all types of different denominations and all types of flavors, so to speak, and all types of divisions, for lack of better words. But I'm here to say this morning, but not every church, unfortunately, will be preaching the gospel. Not every church will be telling the truth. There will be pastors that get behind the pulpit, and they'll even open a Bible, and they will preach heresy. They will preach something other than what God's word says. There's actually a movement of, I kid you not, atheist churches. People that get together that claim they no longer believe in God or never believed in God and have some sort of gathering. And as I read that, I thought to myself, it once again in my mind proves Jesus Christ. You see, people are longing for that. So much the more that they're now trying to gather and they're trying to replace that void in their life. Very quickly this morning, I would like to talk about some needs of the church. And I would like you to preach with me if you would. 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 through 4, and you know the story. I've got some favorite books in the Bible. One of them is the book of James. I love the book of James. It's often been said that it is the Proverbs of the New Testament. I love the book of James. I also love the book of 1 and 2 Timothy. If you ask me what my favorite books are, it probably depends on what week it is because I go back and forth. But I really love 2 Timothy as the Apostle Paul, and you've heard me speak of this before, he is in a prison and Paul knows that someday he is going to die. He's not getting out of the prison. He's not going home. You have to understand once again, and for those of you that maybe don't know or forgotten, prison is not what it is today. Paul was probably in a cave. He probably was shackled to somebody else. I'm not trying to be mean or funny when I say this. There probably was feces and everything else in the prison cell itself. It probably stunk more than you could believe. There were no showers. The only food that was provided for Paul was the food that was brought to him. There was no refrigerators. There was no preservatives. Everything he had. So there might have been rats and feces and urine and smell. You're getting the picture. He might have had a torch, maybe. He had, we think, bad eyesight. He was in dire straits. But when you read the book of Timothy, you can just feel the love that's coming from him. That love that he has towards Timothy, that almost son, so to speak. And he's begging with him with last words. Remember, he said, come visit me, Timothy. I want to see you. Bring the parchments with you that we may fellowship. And so Paul is giving Timothy some instruction. Beloved, I'm here to say point number one, some needs of the church. Point number one, the need of truthful biblical preaching. You would think that in today's world, you could just say preaching. But I'm here to say that right now, at this very moment, there are possibly thousands of pastors that are preaching heresy, that are not preaching the truth. They're not giving people the truth. There is a need for truthful, biblical preaching. I praise God that Pastor Holmes takes the preaching very serious at Harvest. He studies for hours and hours and hours. And sometimes he'll come over the radio, and sometimes he comes to the gym, and he'll kind of pseudo-preach it to us and bounce things off of us. Why? Because he's concerned. Pastor Holm gets it. The seriousness of where we're at. It's not all gummy bear and lollipops. We live in a very serious time where people need the Word of God. We need preaching. Paul writes to Timothy, and in my mind's eye, I can see Timothy opening up and reading that. And he says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall keep to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away from their ears to the truth, and they shall be turned into fables. If you would, allow me to reread that. And as we look into the Greek, I wish Pastor Holmes was here. He'd be happy this morning that I actually looked up in the Greek. Of course, I Googled it, but that's okay. So he says, preach the word. That means emphatic. When you preach it, loudly proclaim it as if one was announcing a king. Timothy, get on it. Give it to them. Let them know what the word of God says and say it, not just kind of quietly and whisper it, but you preach with authority. Be instant in season. In other words, it's done all the time. There's no fixed hours. Always be ready, Timothy. Have it on the tip of your tongue. Christians, you cannot have the word of God on your tongue if it's not in your heart. And it'll never be in your heart if you're not reading the word of God. Man's word works, but God's word works best. He says, out of season, all the time, in peace or in danger. Timothy, I can speak this from truth. I'm in prison as we speak. And Timothy, there might come a time when you preach it and you've got to be thrown in prison. And there might come a time where people tell you, Timothy, if you preach this, we're throwing you in prison. Timothy, I'm here to tell you, preach it anyways. Preach it. Reprove those in error of doctrine to convince. You tell people if they're wrong in doctrine, tell them they're wrong. Beloved, I'm here to tell you, and we'll talk about this more. There comes a time, I'm not saying argumentative, I'm not saying mean, but we can't always shake our head when people are talking about God, because some people don't know what they're talking about. And they'll talk about the Bible. And you in love need to say, beloved, I love you, but what you're saying the scripture is not right. You are in error. He says, rebuke. Oh, this is a tough one. This is going to hurt people. That means to point out sin in people's life and tell them so. He said, Timothy, don't get up there and wing-ding around. If people are sinning in love, you need to tell them. They've got sin in their life, and you need to get it straightened out. I praise God, Pastor Lewis and Pastor Holmes have the guts to get up here and tell us, thus saith the Lord. Aren't you glad? I love it when Pastor Holmes gets up here and in love and in doctrine, he preaches the truth. I want the truth. Don't lie to me up here. Tell me what I need to know. I'm raising boys in my home. I take that very seriously. I need to know what the Word of God says. I need to have that in my heart. Every now and then, I think of Port Clinton Fisheries, how they fillet those fish. The Word of God fillets us, doesn't it? We need filleted every now and then. Every now and then, we need our flesh laid back and that sin that I hold in my heart and those little areas that I don't think I need to fix. I need Pastor Holm to take out that knife, to skin me back and say, David, get your stinking heart right. You're sinning and you know it. Quit fooling around, get to the altar and get over it. I praise God for that. I don't want a pastor up here. Well, let's just all talk about the good things of the Lord. There are good things of the Lord, beloved. But if you're right with yourself, you love sin as much as I do. My flesh loves to sin. I have a bad attitude sometimes. I lose my temper. I have a pity party. And that's all before I have coffee in the morning. He says, I need you to exhort. That means to encourage, to lead with diligence. That is preaching. He says, with long suffering. Patience and meekness. Aren't you glad we have a patient pastor who loves us and cares for us? And doctrine. Right, true, full of hope. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. In other words, doctrine that is health to their souls. That's what I'm talking about now. As there's churches, even in our area, that they preach, but they don't say anything. There's a long sermon. There's even a poem in 3 points. But they don't talk about anything. He says, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, carnal desires and comfortable in their own wishes. Remember that flay? It hurts sometime, doesn't it? That's what the Word of God does. And they shall turn away their ears. I don't want to hear the plain gospel of the truth. That's happened before, hasn't it? It happened in the Old Testament when Noah was building and they laughed it off and they didn't want to hear it. It happened when Stephen was preaching, so much the more that they ran on him and they actually physically bit him. The Bible says they stopped their ears. Stop it! Stop telling me the truth! Why do we have people that deny God? You know why? Because in their heart, they don't want to know the truth. Don't hold me accountable. I don't want to be accountable. They turned into fables, idle stories. There's nothing wrong with stories. I love stories. I love a good story. But at the end of the day, beloved, give me the truth. Give it to me in love. So as we look at the need for biblical truth, today more than ever, we need to speak, teach, and show the truth in love. Many churches today are missing a shepherd who will preach the whole book. It's not always what they say. A lot of times, it's what they don't say. Every now and then, beloved, you need to preach against sin. And you need to name the sin. And you need to say what it is and what it is not. Remember, beloved, we're to speak, teach, show the truth in love. Wouldn't you say today the world is desperate for truth and for something real? Did you know there's actually something going on with young people today? They're starting to question things, such as abortion. People today are like, you mean to tell me I can kill a baby and it's okay? There's actually a movement going on among young people, even in college, that are starting to think to myself, this isn't making sense to me. You're trying to tell me what science is, and now, but you're telling me it's okay to kill a baby. And they're starting to question that. Do you believe it or not? We're actually turning the tide on abortion. I praise God for that. It's now getting harder and harder and harder. Why? I think because Christians and other people are speaking up and talking about it and taking a stand. We have to do that, but we have to do it in love. We have an obligation to tell others about Christ. And let me help you with something, beloved. Don't be so shocked when the unredeemed act, class, unredeemed. When I turn on the news, I'm not all rolling around in my bedroom or in the house. Why? They're not saved. When I go out and I hear someone swear and cuss and carry on, they're not a Christ follower. Why would they? Why would they act like a Christ follower? They're not a Christ follower. When the unredeemed act unredeemed, stop being so shocked and start loving on them and showing a difference in their life. I don't get shocked when carnal Christians act carnal. When people don't read their Bible, when they don't come to church, when they don't have any godly desires, I'm not expecting them to act. Fill in the blank. People go to church once a month, I'm not expecting them to do godly things. I'm not trying to be mean. I just don't expect it. I'm not trying to throw stones. I'm not. Beloved, we have a debt to society. Brother Mike Nicer pointed this out for me a while back. Brother Mike, I've thought about this. I can't tell you how many times. Romans chapter 13, 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. I owe my neighbor something. You know what I owe him? The love of God. I owe that person at Walmart when everyone else is being grouchy because you're in line for 4.3 minutes and we all know the world's going to come to an end. I owe that person what? Love. I owe them love. I owe the person everywhere I go to the best of my ability. I owe them love. I'm just like you. I get in the flesh when that person in front of me is going 56 miles an hour. And everybody knows you're allowed to go 60. If the speed limit's 70, you're allowed to go 75. If the speed limit's 35, you're allowed to go 80.
Oh, Pastor Mike. My boys do call your car a race car. I want you to know that. Brother, just for that, I think you should trade me. I got a 2003 Chrysler Concord. It's nice, spacious. It's got a little bit of rust. Kind of some character to it. Okay? John 3:16. Let's show it. Let's live it. Let's tell it. Let's love out the gospel on people. You see, he wanted us to have the love of God on us so much that people had to see something is different. I just, when I see that person, there's just something different. True biblical preaching is designed to change the heart of man. I'm going to run out of time here. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We'll break this verse down again. For the word of God is quick. It's living. It's not dead. Isn't that wonderful? It's not some dead book. It's a living book that is just as relevant now as it was written thousands of years ago. We don't need to rethink it. We need to preach it. We need to live it. It says, and powerful. In other words, it awakes the conscience. It's sharper than two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder. It penetrates. Remember the fillet? That's what the Word of God does. Of the soul and spirit, your whole body, your soul, your mind, everything, and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It opens up your view. It cuts to the soul. Nothing is hidden. That is what the Word of God does. It exposes. Why do people don't want to hear the Word of God? Because it cuts them. And it's okay. Remember, biblical teaching is not designed to offend you. That's not what biblical teaching is designed. When I walk out of here, if Pastor Holmes or Pastor Mott or Pastor Belcher or Charles or Dan or whoever, myself, anybody that preaches, Brother Wiesner, anybody that preaches, if we're preaching the Word of God, we're not here to offend you. We're here to mold you with the Word of God. And it's given you. It shines light on what is wrong in our lives. It gets to the root of the issue. And this is awesome. It gives us a choice. We either change or we don't. I praise God for that. And the best part is some of you think that we get together as a staff. And we call it the staff of mourning. Because we get together and talk about all we hate about the church people. And we're going to just tear them up this Sunday. And Pastor Holmes, you just fillet them. And we'll sit there and do cartwheels and amen because they're all a bunch of sinners. We don't do that. That's ridiculous. Brother,
sister,
staff, we don't dedicate our lives because we hate people. I know that may come to a surprise to you. We don't put all the hours we put in and all the dinners we miss and all the times I tell Shugs I won't be home for dinner tonight because I hate you. We do it because we love you. And we're trying to help you with the Word of God as you help us. That's Pastor Holmes's desire. He is a very smart man. But I'm very excited about something. He told me he actually got a B in something. I was like, you got a B? What? I think I even stood up. I said, you got a B? An actual B? Like the letter B? And I forget what it was. Basket weaving or something? No, not really. I got a B on something. I'm like, wow, I've never seen one of these before. I got a B. Beloved, every service you attend, every sermon you hear, could be a life-changing moment for you. Isn't that exciting? That excites me. Every time you walk in that door, when you decide to change or correct or turn from something, when you surrender or let go or come back, when you decide to listen with an open heart, to allow the Holy Spirit to speak, evaluate, challenge you, that is when something supernatural can happen. And how does that happen? The Word of God. When we listen and we decide to change. The awesome part is when you allow the Holy Spirit to shine the Word of Gospel on you, He might reveal something that wasn't even touched on by the speaker. It's that still small voice. And it's so exciting to me. We can change even right now. The Holy Spirit can get a hold of you and can say, there's something in your life that you've not given to me. And you can make that decision right now. And it could change your life forever. And the best part is, it might not just change your life. It might change then your spouse's life and your kids' life and a coworker's life. Do you understand how powerful the Word of God is? And how powerful preaching is. And if you have a chance to influence other people, you can influence other people. And those people can influence other people. Why? Because one time you got sensitive to the Holy Spirit and you said, I'm going to change. Praise God for that. Just a sermon. Number two, the need for true biblical unity. True biblical unity. Matthew 12:25 says, and Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let's break down that verse again. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is. In other words, fear of persecution. When this was written, there was a time where people said, I'm not going to church anymore because I might get persecuted. I'm out. I'm not going to go. And know what? I could understand that. Think about it, beloved, if we had to secretly come to church, and if you knew at any moment you could be captured and put in prison for the rest of your life, let's be honest, let's be transparent, would you maybe second guess yourself about coming to church? Do you know there's people right now in prison, and they're not getting out? According to Voice of the Martyrs, there's more people persecuted for the church now than there's ever been in the history of the world at this very moment, right now. Recently, a man was taken. He was beaten, so he had open wounds. They then took extremely hot peppers, cut the peppers open, put a bag over his head, put the peppers in, and closed the neck. And the man burned alive. And they sat there and watched him. Why? Because he was a Christian. And so they said there, some have doubts. Some didn't think it was necessary, so they didn't come to church. He says, but exhorting one another. In other words, strong union, provoking us to do good, encouraging us to stay strong. That's the unity of the church. That when you look and you notice someone's not there, you send them a text message and say, hey, I'm sorry, I didn't see you. You maybe say, hey, let me take you out to dinner. You maybe pick up the phone and you call them. Why? There's unity here. There's forgiveness here. It's a beautiful thing. You show me a unified church, I'll show you a happy church. One on the same team. We help one another. We push one another. We love one another. We stay together. Why? We're a church. We're unified. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. You show me a unified, joyful church, I'll show you a forgiving church. I praise God for that. I praise God that you can get forgiveness and you can get love and you can get restored in a church. What does the devil want to do? He wants to divide. He wants to conquer. He wants to tear down. The devil does it to me. David, those people don't like you. God tells me, you're not even important enough for them to think about. They're not thinking about you. They're thinking about whether they like vanilla or chocolate ice cream. They're not consumed with you. Do you think God puts negative thoughts in my mind? What does God give me? Thoughts of peace. The negative thoughts that come to Dave Weirich are not of God. The hurtful things that come are not of God. John 13:35, By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. One that doesn't compare themselves to one another, but to God. One that is quick to come to the aid of a fallen soldier. You know what Pastor Belcher was doing even when he had cancer? He was visiting people. What a man of God. What a man of faith. He came to the men's prayer breakfast, and I did not know how ill he was. And I told my wife, I said, I'm concerned. Pastor Belcher's not himself. It's no wonder he had cancer. But what did he do? He still was trying to help the household of faith. Beloved, oh, that all of us would get a hold of that, that we would be unified, that we'd love one another, that we'd go out of our way to help one another. Praise God. Be faithful to God in church. Help Harvest be a church of unity by getting with the program and supporting its ministries. Set your schedule around the church. Do a compassionate act. Step outside yourself. So we said point number one, we said a need for truthful biblical preaching. We said point number two, the need for truthful biblical unity. And finally, point number three, the need for truthful biblical concern for the lost. Psalms 126, 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. When was the last time, beloved? Not throwing stones. I'm not trying to hurt. That you came down to this altar and shed a few tears for someone that's not saved. When was the last time on your day at work, whatever, and you thought to yourself, my neighbor does not know the Lord, and if that person doesn't get saved, they're going to die and go to hell. When was the last time? I'm not trying to hurt you. We need to have concern for the lost. Your friend on the line, your friend at work, that cashier, that person out there, they might not know the Lord. Have you told them? Matthew 16, 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Luke 14, 23, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come, that my house may be filled. Have you forgotten the Great Commission, beloved? The boys and I went out several times on VBS inviting people. We went door to door, bought little chicken wings. And it was so precious. At one point, I was on one side of the street, and my Travis and Lucas were on the other side of the street. And I'm telling you, I about had a Bapticostal fit. There's my little Travis talking to some dude that looked like he was 900 feet tall. And Travis handed him a track, and it came like the guy's shin. And he was inviting his family to VBS. Beloved, I love you. When was the last time you did that? When was the last time you stepped out of your comfort zone and talked to someone and said, if you died today, where would you go? The boys and I went out, I think it was Friday. We went out, we went on visitation again, and we drove around Clyde looking for bikes in the yard, because with the bikes in the yard, they probably have kids or grandkids. And we talked to all kinds of people, and one of my kids, I won't say which one, he already had it in his mind, that copter, he was going to win because all those kids are coming. And then they were fighting over who was going to claim them. I'm like, guys, come on, we're trying to be spiritual here. Yeah, Dad, but it's a helicopter. Guess how many came? Zero. And afterwards, he was disappointed. And I went up and I sat on his bed. I said, son, you gave the gospel out. You obeyed the Holy Spirit. I said, I promise you, God keeps a perfect set of books. I said, we must do what's right, and we'll allow God to fill in the blanks. I said, plus grandma's coming home. You can get that copter. Don't worry about that. I didn't really say that. I was thinking it, though. Beloved, I love you. When was the last time you inconvenience yourself to give out the gospel? When was the last time you did that? Had that gospel track. Talk to someone. I promise you, if you ask the Lord to give you an opportunity to give the gospel, guess what he is going to do? He's going to give you an opportunity to give the gospel. I promise you, if you would just be sensitive, they're there. There's many ways you can minister. I'll push this and I'll be done. There's RU Recovery. I have had the privilege now to go a number of times. And for the record, I still miss Corby Blanton desperately bad. Probably once a week, I shed a tear or two in my office thinking about Corby Blanton. Just the other day, it was at night, Lynette and I were just talking, and both of us just paused and said, I miss that man. All the more reason to come on out on a Friday night. You say, David, I can't really talk. All you got to do is sit there and just talk to people and get to know them and come on out. It was not last Friday, but the Friday before, we got to have it in the radio station. Mike, I was going wild. I thought, this was my dream of building the station. We got to have RU there. It was great. And they probably thought it was just another RU. And inside, I just wanted to do cartwheels. And I even made Lewis coffee for them. Bless their hearts. They're like, you got some knives so we can cut this and cut a slice off for one another? It was such a, and I thought about all the people that helped put that station together. And there were men. And one guy was so sweet. He's like, you know, I'm trying to read the Bible and I really don't understand it, but I'm trying. And I thought, glory to God, he's trying. Hallelujah. Maybe you can't be there physically. Maybe you can give financially. Maybe the Lord has blessed you and there's financially something you can do. I'll do a plug for the radio. I'm pretty self-serving, huh? I promise we'll use it correctly. I promise you give to the church, we'll use it correctly. I promise you we will. Beloved, I hope I've challenged you this morning. I'm not trying to chew on you. I don't know about Pastor Holmes, but man, it's hard up here. Because there's about four times I'm like, I need to get the altar and get a hold of God. The need for truthful biblical preaching, the need for truthful biblical unity, and the need for truthful biblical concern for the lost. As we're standing to our feet,